Hello, everyone, and welcome to Passionately Interested, a podcast where we discuss the things we're passionately interested in. I'm your spooky host, Curtis.
And I'm your nerdy host, Nick.
It's been a really long time, it feels like.
Yeah, it has been, but you know, what with the holidays and all kinds of fun stuff happening, it's just been it's a busy time.
Yeah, I lost my voice for like a week. That was cool. It just worked out better. Taking a break and taking another crack at it once all that garbage had gotten out of the way.
Yeah, and then we also don't have to worry about trying to fit in recordings and editings and everything around, well, my family's doing this, family doing this, then we're doing this.
Yeah, it was really inconvenient for us personally for Christmas to be on a Saturday, and I believe that it should apologize.
I mean, not only was it inconvenient that way, but also with work, I had to do so much because of Christmas falling on a Saturday.
Gross. Never do it again. Only in the middle of the week, please. Thank you.
I mean, I still got days off regardless, so I mean, not too upset.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why I like it to be in the middle of the week and stuff, because normally we get Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. We get screwed out of one of those days when it's on the weekend, because they're still like, oh, we'll still give you a 3-day weekend. I'm like, no. Give me my second day.
Yeah, that's what I was dealing with at work. A lot of companies, because, you know, I do timekeeping software. A lot of companies were reaching out being like, hey, we need you to adjust the holiday rules so that we can, you know, either not pay for two holidays on Friday or move Christmas Eve to Thursday and Christmas to Friday. I'm just like, stop.
Yeah, no, enough of that. It's garbage. Don't do it. You'll celebrate Hanukkah and you'll like it.
Listen, I built the system one way. You're going to keep it that way.
I'm serious. Like, I have to click two buttons and I just don't have the time.
Well, it's more the fact that then I got to remember to go back and turn things back on.
No, they've made their bed. Now they must lie in it.
Oh, yeah. At this point, I'll forget all of the systems. I'll go to support next year. They'll be like, Christmas isn't working.
It's broken. Oh, no. Our Christmas. It's broken. Oh. TikTok in my brain all the times.
But yeah, I mean, it was a busy time.
Did you get what you wanted from Santa Claus?
Yes and no. I mean, I got some fun things. I got a soda stream, and I've been abusing that and making all different kinds of flavored things. It's great.
Have you soda streamed G Fuel yet?
I have not. I keep forgetting that.
Oh, I thought about that. I was like, oh, we both drink G Fuel. And I heard through the grapevine about your soda stream. I'm like, I wonder.
The problem with that is you have to carbonate just the water. Otherwise, things explode.
Oh,
it gets very messy.
Oh, no.
And then with, you know, G Fuel being the powder and everything, adding powder to a carbonated thing, it doesn't go well.
It would go flat from having to shake it.
Yeah, so it's going to take some experimentation to try and figure that one out.
Well, that sucks. That is what I got into since the last time one of the things that I've gotten into since the last time we recorded, though, is my wife and I started drinking G Fuel, which is pretty tasty. I really heard about it from an ASMR podcast, ASMR YouTuber. Mm. And then you're like, yeah, I drink it. I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Now I got to do it.
Looking at the 5 tubs currently on my desk. Each day of the week.
Well, we bought.
Don't look under the desk where my stockpile is.
No. Now, see, we bought one of the boxes that you can like get the mix packs of, and we got we got watermelon because we had already tried it in the starter pack, and that was awesome. We got the battle juice, which is pineapple.
That's my Thursday.
We got cotton candy. The cotton candy one, it's a very, very mild cotton candy flavor. I was expecting to get absolutely walloped with cotton candy, like cotton candy ice cream, but that was not the case.
I have not had that one, and I don't see it in my pile. But no, I'm not kidding. Like Monday is Bahama Mama, Tuesday is Rainbow Sherbert, Wednesday is Bubblegum, Thursday is Battle Juice, and Friday is Tropical Rain. And then out come the new flavors. And then I have the quote unquote leftover tub. You know, when a tub gets so low, I'm just like, there's maybe a scoop left, I dump it into this. And eventually that's just going to be either something amazing or horrendous. Only time will tell.
Is it a suicide tub?
Yes.
Oh, no. That's the worst idea. What are you doing?
I got a list right now. Right now, it is lingonberry.
Okay.
Spicy demonade.
Oh, fuck.
Starfruit.
Okay.
The sour shamrock, which is just a reskinned sour apple. And then last year's Black Friday classified, which was kind of like a watermelon bubblegum almost.
Oh, I mean, that's probably okay.
It's just going to get better.
Yeah. Time. Yeah. When you add in like the regular bubblegum flavor. God, that's so bad. I don't know how you like it. It's terrible. Artificial bubblegum flavor in a drink. It was like, it's like I'm drinking medicine.
I'm trying to think if there's been a flavor of theirs I've tried that. I want to say.
Phase X is garbage.
I want to say it was the blue. Is that like blue chug rug or something?
The sour blue chug rug?
Yeah, that one.
That one's great. What are you talking about? I just had that one yesterday. It fucking beats ass.
Maybe it wasn't that one.
That one tastes like a blue Slurpee.
I did get one of the, similar to what you did, the box with all the different packets when I started everything out.
Phase X is garbage. It sucks. It's horrible.
Maybe that's what it was.
I don't know what flavor it was. The packet was like a red and black camo.
Yep, that's the one.
It sucks. It's horrible. I don't know what flavor it is, but I hate it. I took one sip and I went, nope.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm just like, you know, I'm glad I only got a couple packets of this. I'll just fight through it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't. We only had one because it was like seven individuals and each one was a different one.
Oh, gotcha.
It also had Nemesis Tea. I didn't really feel that one.
I don't have that one. I mean, if we really want to get into it, I can start listing off all the flavors that I got down here. Let me see.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Please do.
Move that book out of the way. Let's see. I got Ice
Get
Shatter,
out of the way, learning.
And Scorpion Sting. That's from the Mortal Kombat 11 when they released those.
Yep.
Maiden's Blood from the new Resident Evil.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't remember what flavor that's supposed to be.
Surprise.
Well, I remember reading it online and going, oh, that sounds tasty. And then I'm looking at the tub. It does not say anything. Neat. I'll have to look that one up.
That one's going to get you. No, don't look it up. Just drink it.
Not right now.
No, just drink it. You'll find out what flavor it is.
Then I got Clickbait, which is like a bunch of the different fruity candies.
Ooh, that sounds good.
The Sour Demonade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I told you I got a lot of these. Tetris Blast, which
isn't that one kind of like Juju Fruit?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Then I got Miami Nights, which is a very nice kind of 90s vaporwave looking tub.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got the shaker bottle to go with that one just because I like the color palette. You know, that kind of like soft green with the pink.
Yeah. Yeah, looks like vaporwave music should be coming out of it at all points in time. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Then I got the Classified V2 from this year's Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Raspberry Pie.
Oh.
You're right.
Now, the pie ones, I have the pie ones, the strawberry shortcake, and the coffee one. The girl in the YouTube channel was talking about she puts milk in those instead of water.
I've heard that with a variety of the flavors.
I feel like it would be pretty good.
See, then I got Orange Vibe.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
then
good.
Then Hive Nectar. Jesus, hang on. There's still more back here.
Oh, my God. They get Stonks. You with that BOGO. Oh, there, really yeah, Stonks.
The Stonks one. Yeah. Then I got Bobby Boysenberry.
Fuck yeah. That one sounds good.
Brain Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the last one back here? Pink Drip. That's what it is.
Oh, we just got that one. So I'll name off ours. It's a very, very short list. We have watermelon, which I absolutely love. That one's amazing. We have the battle juice. We have cotton candy. We have rainbow sherbet. And then we just got, because they did the BOGO, we got a tub of the sour blue chug rug, which, like I said, it tastes like sour blue raspberry Slurpees. And Pink Drip, which tastes like pink Starburst. It's very good. We're not sponsored by G Fuel, but hey, G Fuel, we talk to us. I would love it. I'd do ad reads for G Fuel. Hell yeah. They don't even have to pay us in money. Pay us in G Fuel.
I mean, given how much money I've given them.
It's only fair. Please, please, I beg of you, Sim. Notice me, G Fuel Senpai.
I mean, the nice thing is, because I realized with how much energy drinks I was drinking, because I don't like starting my day with coffee. I'm not a giant fan of it. I realized that if I just got the G Fuel tubs, it was significantly cheaper than all the energy drinks I was buying.
Yeah, and then just the less sugar. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you catch the BOGOs, because they have a lot of those.
I know. They're constantly emailing me. I'm like, I can't right now. Leave.
It's great. Yeah, I'm like,
who dis?
My supply's getting low. Oh, look, a sale.
Yeah. Oh, it's like they knew. They've tapped my phone, and you know what? I think that's okay.
You know, a lot of people complain about targeted advertising, but I just kind of look at it and go, man, they really know me.
Yeah. Wow. They've got my algorithm figured out more than I do.
I mean, if you've ever actually like dug into it and looked at some of the things it says about you, it's pretty spot on.
It's very weirdly accurate, which sometimes is nice, because I got for Christmas $100 to Etsy, because I told them like, hey, I'm trying to replace the LARP stuff that I outgrew because I became, my mortal frame became more powerful during 2020 and 2021. And I became, my pirate clothing could no longer contain my powerful frame. And so I had them get that, get me the gift cards. And I was like super excited, like, hell yeah. But I had also gotten some bonuses that I was immediately like, well, I gotta get some LARP stuff so that it's for sure in on time, and I don't want to like wait until Christmas and then the people decided to get me other stuff, which would have been fine, but I didn't want to be like reliant on that and then it not happen. So I bought myself two pairs of pants, two pairs of pants and a vest, and I think that was it for the first batch. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I got the gift card. I was like, I don't know what to buy. So I ended up getting myself a couple, like some accessories and stuff, which turned out really cool.
Yeah, I got a number of gift cards this year, which I used to put towards the upcoming trip pretty much exclusively, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to Disney.
Oh, yeah, got a Disney gift card, put that towards the total that actually be paid today, so that's fun. We are 44 days out, I think, at this point.
Oh, you lucky.
Yeah, it's great.
You lucky boy.
Then I bought a set of luggage because, well, I don't really have much luggage at this point. And this way,
you gotta have a suitcase for your G Fuel. Gotta take it with. Checking, please.
I may be taking two bags with me when I go, one nestled inside the other, and then gonna have two bags when I come back.
Sir, what is this white powder in this Ziploc bag that you have in your luggage?
No, I just know how I'm gonna be with souvenirs, so I'm taking a souvenir suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly a really good idea. Man, I was watching a video where somebody went around Disney mm-hmm. Tokyo. Whichever configuration those words are. Yeah, Tokyo Disney. And they were just trying different foods and stuff.
Oh, man, there's so much food over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, one, that. And two, it's so cheap. Like, it's like a giant thing of food. It's like $3.25. I'm like, over here, that would cost $12.
But because of the interesting thing of Tokyo Disneyland not actually being owned by Disney.
Really?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, it's actually owned and operated by the Oriental Land Company, I believe is the name. Let me double check that. Yep, Oriental Land Company. They actually license the themes from Walt Disney.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It looks really cute.
Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea are the only Disney parks not wholly or partly owned by Walt Disney.
That's crazy, especially because they have that super kick-ass freestanding ballroom dancing Belle and Beast animatronic that they built.
Oh, yeah. That,
it's not even animatronic. It's a robot.
Watch the ride through on that, and it's weird. It's like
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, because it's just such the animatronics are so lifelike yet done in an animated style. It's this weird, weird, but it's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's so cool. I don't, it again, like you just said, it's creepy because they did it like point for point what the animated movie looks like, but they're up and moving and they're not attached to anything. They're free moving robots. So like they don't.
Yeah, the animatronics.
Yeah, you can't, there's no posts or anything to see, so it's just weird. It's like real cartoon people dancing around, but super cool.
Yeah, Disney has always really pushed the forefront of animatronic technology and stuff like that. I don't know if you've seen Navi River Journey, any video of that, the Shaman animatronic on that.
Yes, I have specifically seen videos of when the Shaman is down, and it's really, really funny.
Oh yeah, when the Shaman's down, they actually lower it down and it just has a screen up in front. But the the figure, like that's an intense animatronic.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. The video I saw, he must have just broken because they hadn't lowered him down. So there was a lot of noise and singing and drumming. And then they turned the corner and he's just kind of like limply. He's got his head to the side and his arms are
down. I'm not going to lie. I mean, watching some of those animatronic fails are absolutely amusing.
Yeah.
Just because it's rare to see something that broken at Disney. Like one where Ursula's head is literally hanging by wires.
Oh, no. That's no good.
But she's still singing.
Oh, that's even worse. have you seen when they had the Three Amigos?
They were bushes.
Pulling them one at a time. Yeah, they had bushes there. And why not have standees? Like, are there bushes?
They did do the standees at one point, but just the bushes.
Somebody's like, yeah, no one will notice. Donald's a bush now. It's fine. Look, it's got his hat. It's no big deal.
It was very good. I loved it.
So I had a brainchild. I was thinking about stuff that I wanted to do for the show, and I ended up coming up. I have a bit for you.
Okay.
You know, bits aren't something that we've done before, and so I'm kind of excited to give it a shot.
It's like we're real podcast boys.
But I listen to a lot of Mabim Bam, and they do bits nonstop, and I like ended up coming up with one, and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, definitely got to do this one. So the premise of this bit, which I have called tentatively headlines, is I have written these fake headlines written in the style of like one that you would see about like Florida Man. But what the headlines are describing a movie. So I've taken a very vague general hint idea of a movie and written it out as a headline, and I'm gonna read them out, and I want you to try and guess the movie, but you have to be specific.
How recent of a movie are we talking?
I have ones from a couple of years ago to like 15 years ago.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I wrote four. I was very all over the place, and I tried to make them ones that like you can get. They're not like super obscure, but I tried to write them very, like very vaguely, but I was also trying to be funny with it as well.
Gotcha.
But like, not you. The challenge comes, I don't want you to just guess, because three of them are franchises. I don't want you to just guess the franchise. I want you to you need to try and guess the exact movie.
Okay.
So I've tried to make them difficult but not brain stumping. So we'll see how it goes. So here's the first one, and I tried to make the first one kind of a softball to get us into the right mindset for it. Space Wizard drinks gross milk.
Okay, well trying to remember the name of the second of the third trilogy, was it Rise of Skywalker was the most recent one, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Force Awakens. What's in the middle? Rise of Skywalker.
I'll add one word to try and assist. Last Space Wizard drinks gross milk.
Oh, The Last Jedi.
Yeah, there you go. Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Well, the worst part about it is I've been rewatching all of Star Wars because, you know, Book of Boba Fett.
Right.
But, you know, I only got up to after Return of the Jedi, Well, and Mandalorian. Dang.
Yeah.
Very upset. I mean, at least okay. I knew it. I just couldn't.
You did. Yeah. You guessed the right one. You were just having to remember what the name of the actual like movie was.
And if there's anyone out there who can tell you my memory is horrible, it's me.
I think. I can't remember.
Maybe.
Yeah. So here's the second one. Boy stays up past bedtime, kills rare giant snake.
Boy stays up past.
I'll give you two guesses.
I mean, I'm assuming this is a franchise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Because every single time he's like, there. Anytime shit goes down, they're up past their bedtime.
Well, yeah. When else would you wander around a school?
The coolest the problem shit was happens for a second, at 2 in the morning.
The problem was for a second there, I was thinking Neville and Nagini. And
I'm like, no, not really
giant snake at that point.
Right. That would have made sense, though. Like, that one also would have been a good guess. But no, it is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
I did it.
Yes. Now, this next one might be a little bit difficult, so I am interested to see how well you do. Green man yells at trespassers, overthrows government.
Yells at trespassers, overthrows... You know, when you said green man yells at trespassers, I wanted to say Grinch.
No, but good guess.
But then overthrows government.
This one might be a little bit hard.
That's
I was cackling when I wrote this one. If you don't get it, you're going to kick yourself when I tell you.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
don't do it. Don't do it.
Is it Shrek?
Yes, it's Shrek.
Okay.
You got it. Green man yells at trespassers, overthrows government. It's Shrek.
It just clicked for a second. I'm like, wait, swamp.
Get out of it. All right, here's the last one, and I feel like this one might be a little bit easier for you. Lizard tamer has terrible day at work.
Well, specifically lizard tamer, therefore it's going to be Jurassic World.
Yep, there you go, Jurassic World. And that one I wrote while I was waiting for you had some computer hiccups, and while I was waiting here, I was like, I got another headline.
It didn't want to wake up. It didn't want to wake up. It's like me.
It's tired.
Every morning. No, yeah. No, turn the alarm off. I'm not getting up.
My computer was also angry, but that was because I hadn't turned it on since the last time we recorded. Because I don't really like use it for anything else. Because I play video games on Switch and Xbox.
I was about to be like, how do you function? Then I realized, Nick, not everybody works from home. Not everyone needs the computer literally every day.
Yeah, I would work from home if I could, but I'd have to get a giant propane tank set up. So that wouldn't work too well.
I mean... That can be done.
It can be done. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I would totally build valves from home. They could bring truckloads of them over here. I don't even care, but alas, no can do. So that was headlines.
That's good. I like those.
Yeah, I think that's fun. We'll have to do that again. It's not going to be, headlines won't be an every time thing.
Well, no, you got to take some time.
Yeah.
Write them out creatively.
I gotta let them. I gotta cook up some good ones. If I just shell them all out, eventually they won't be as funny.
We'll be getting real obscure movies.
Yeah, do one for Casablanca.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Legend of the. Oh man, what's it's the Legend of the Ooze? Secret of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. I love those live action. Dude, have you seen the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle live action suits with the skin off?
Yes.
It's the worst.
Yeah, no,
but in a good way.
No, it's like it's ripping apart my childhood.
It's steel framing, teeth, and giant eyes, and that's basically it. It's just and then just like a shit ton of wiring.
I mean, yeah, they were just. Very fancy animatronic puppets.
Yeah. Well, what's cool to me about those is that the person controlling the faces are off screen. They sit there, they have a console board, and they move controls and stuff that activate on the suits. So it's not even the person in the suit. The person in the suit's just moving their body like normal while someone else is controlling their head. And that's a weird concept.
Yeah, the amount of teamwork that goes into animatronic suits is crazy.
Well,
I always love the practical effects and, you know, actually seeing something on screen versus CGI.
I agree. I agree completely. I've recently shown my 7-year-old daughter both Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and The Hobbit, the first one. And me watching, it makes me really sad to see every single orc in Lord of the Rings was a costume. There's like four costumed orcs in the first Hobbit movie. The rest of them are CGI. Well, and that I'm just like, oh.
There's also, man, watching Lord of the Rings, last time I did, there are some CGI scenes you look at and go, ooh, that is not good.
Yeah.
Specifically, the one that comes to mind is when they're opening the Black Gates. And it's just like the people very obviously green screened into the gate scene. It's just like, man, that reminds me of some old school VHS board game graphics there.
Yeah, well, when did that movie come out?
Fellowship of the Ring. Well,
no, Return of the King.
Yeah, it would have been Return of the King with Blackgate, not Fellowship.
2003. So, I mean,
really? It was
in
that?
A way. Yeah.
Wow, I thought.
I think they came out one each year because it was 2000, or it might have been 2000, 2002, and 2003.
2001 is when Fellowship came out.
Okay, so yeah, one each year.
For some reason,
Man, they were flying with those movies.
I just, you know, hearing things like that, it's just like, time, stop, please.
Because Viggo Mortensen is currently the age that Ian McKellen was when he first started playing Gandalf.
Yep, and my brain doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Like, my brain still has moments where it goes, you know, 10 years ago. Wait, that's not the 90s.
No. That's 30 years ago, my friend.
Hey, stop that.
Hey man, I'm about to turn 29. Like, you know, I was born in 93.
Listen, you were born when Jurassic Park came out.
Yeah, I was. I was also born when Nightmare Before Christmas came out. Nightmare Before Christmas 93? Came out the year I was born.
Dang.
Yeah, I know. One of my daughter's favorite movies is as old as her father.
For some reason, I thought that was a little more recent than Jurassic Park. I didn't realize it came out the same year. Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A part of it is because there was like a theatrical re-release in like 20.
Oh yeah, that's fair. When they do those, don't get me wrong, I like it when they do that because you can then experience the movie on big screen again. Mm-hmm. It just screws my perception of time worse than it already is.
Yeah. Well, they it was like a 3D release or something like that, and I was an emo teenager, so you know I went and saw it. Because I was like, oh, the spooky movie is back on screen. Let me walk my skinny jeaned butt into this movie theater. I still wear skinny jeans. I'm not even going to lie.
I have never worn skinny jeans, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah. Well, you always see me in really big pants because most of the time that we hang out, we're dressed in costumes. So, like,
I mean,
one of these
fair.
Days, you're going to see me in the skinny jeans and go, oh.
Yeah, when I'm wearing jeans, they are relaxed fit boot cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I have two of my pants are slim, like so they're not super, super tight. And then I have one pair that is as tight as like leggings.
Just that sounds uncomfortable.
See, it is. They are actually, in fact, uncomfortable. I have to acclimate to them when I put them on. Because they're colder, they sit in my closet, so they're colder. So I actually have to put them on, and then I bend my knee. I like put my arms into the pant legs, and then pull my arms together to try and stretch the legs out some. Mm. And then I will curl up into a ball and lay on my bed on my phone until my pants are the same temperature as my body, and then it's fine. But because I have the ADHD and or autism sensory problems, when I first put them on, my brain is going, ah, it's no bad feel, bad touch. And I just have to reassure myself, but we look good. It's fashion, no pain, fashion.
I mean, I'm just trying
hard being this beautiful.
My typical wear throughout the week is just, you know, like gym shorts and a t-shirt, like not even a graphic t-shirt, just a plain t-shirt.
But you work from home.
Well, I work from home, but I'm also pedaling all day.
And
I don't want to do that in jeans.
Yeah. See, when I'm home and we're not going anywhere, I put on a pair of joggers and a tank top. and I'll just wander around in that because the joggers keep me warm and comfy. But if I put on a t-shirt, I'll get too hot. So I put on a tank top.
Fair enough.
And it's kind of counterintuitive. I could easily put on a t-shirt and shorts, but I won't. I'll be honest, I won't. Because I don't want to wear my pajama pants all day, but I also don't want to put on big boy pants. So I'll put on joggers, which is a good middle ground.
No, I get it. Yep.
And then when we're actually going out, I'm wearing slim jeans and skinny jeans. Man, this is good radio.
I know, I was sitting here thinking, man, this is an odd topic to just kind of go down. But that's kind of what we do.
I actually don't know how we got here.
That is a valid question. How did we? No, if
we were
try
talking about
out,
Lord of the Rings. Emo. Lord of the Rings, 1993, Nightmare for Christmas, emo, skinny jeans. That's how we got here.
That'll do it. Yeah. Man,
fuck,
brains
dude.
Work weird.
I know. I don't understand.
Let me tell you about
it. It's like a spider web. And we got here from G Fuel, man. Oh shit. So what have you don't wow, sentence starting. You don't play very many video games regularly, do you?
Not really. Just cuz by the time I'm off work, it's kind of like dinner then kind of unwind.
Right, yeah. I completely understand that. I have recently, so I got a Switch way later in its lifespan than everybody else did, because for a while I was just kind of like, I have other stuff that I play, and I don't remember what I was doing at the time when it was coming out, but I played on Xbox and stuff, so I wasn't super concerned about it. But eventually I started liking more and more and getting back into playing like indie games, and the like Switch has some pretty good indie games. And I wanted something portable so I could watch TV and play a video game. Mm-hmm. So we picked up a Switch Lite and all that kind of stuff. So I had gotten into Breath of the Wild like 4 years after everybody else. And I played it for a while. I was just enjoying it being a really good open world, like RPG, and doing all the side quests and stuff. And then other games came up. But recently I got back into playing Breath of the Wild. It's such a good game, man. It's just really good. It's a really solid game. You could easily like blast through the story, and that's fine. There's people who want to do that. I completely understand. Sometimes you just want to experience the story and go. But I have spent so much time just doing the shrines and doing side quests and puzzles and doing little fights and gathering materials to do extra like storylines. There's one where you help a guy build a village called Terrytown, and you have to like gather some materials and then talk to him. And then he's like, man, it sure would be nice if we had somebody who could sell some wares in town. But he works for this company. I can't remember the name of the company. I think it's like Bolson and Sons. But the people who work for the company have to have Sun in their name. So it's like Bull Sun, Gray Sun, stuff like that. And so you get sent to each area. And it's kind of like in a way, they're encouraging you to go to these other races' cities. Because there's the Zora city and the Goron city up in like near Death Mountain. And there's the Gerudo city in Gerudo Valley or Gerudo. I don't know. I haven't heard it said out loud. So no one get at me, please. I'm trying my best out here. I am but a white man. And it is a Japanese game. Please, oh, please. Like if you hadn't and you were just doing the Terrytown side quest, then they kind of like, hey, your next task is to find somebody who is good at breaking big boulders. I bet there's somebody who would be really good at that up in the Goron city in up on Death Mountain. Just keep in mind that they have to have the name Sun. Or they have to have Sun in their name. And so if you hadn't gone to the Goron city, now you have to go up there, which opens up the storyline. And it's really cool. I love the way that they do that.
I was just sitting here thinking, being like, man, I know how I play games. I kind of take it as a challenge to go, I have to complete all of these side quests before I progress down the main storyline and get more side quests.
Breath of the Wild would ruin you.
I know. I've heard so many things about it. I'm just here going,
they're coming out with a second one.
I have not finished as many games as you would think with the amount of time I've put into games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, sometimes it's like you don't want to. When you put a lot of time into a game and you really love it, you just don't want to finish the game because then it feels like an end.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in some cases, it is an end.
A lot of the games that I've put a lot of time into don't have ends, which I think says a lot about me.
Oh, yeah.
Like my biggest ones lately have been like Satisfactory and back to Minecraft. I keep going back to Minecraft.
I've been back to Minecraft, too.
Right now, I'm playing a modified version of Stone Block 2. Like, I added more mods to it.
Ooh, nice. Now, see, I play on consoles, so I don't think we could play together. Or can we?
Can we? I want to say it only supports cross-play if you do not the Java edition.
Bedrock?
Yes, that's the name for it.
Yeah,
I want to say Bedrock does cross-play.
Okay, yeah, I believe you are correct. Yeah, our friend Pete and I have been playing Minecraft like crazy. And it's like, I'm pretty sure this game is meant for people. I mean, not pretty sure. I know that the game is intended for small children. My 7-year-old adores Minecraft. She just started playing it. She's fucking obsessed. But it's like, man, I've been playing Minecraft on and off since it was in alpha.
Yep, same here.
And it's like, bro, I'm really good at building. It's so fun.
Like, I remember
I went into, like, Pete started this world and he's a fighter and a miner. He goes down underground. He loves like going off and like, all right, I'm going to go get all these materials.
Mm.
And so I came into his world and his world was like super utilitarian. It was just like he had a half built house and it was a big open flat space. And now it has turned into a fairy forest with mushrooms and giant trees and ancient ruins. I turned his nether portal. I built like ruins around it. So you like have to, it's partially showing out from underneath these like broken stone pieces and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, huh.
Yeah. When I play non-modded Minecraft, I turn into a dwarf.
Yeah.
I dig glorious mines. And like, I mean,
well, dude,
I dig them out and then build them back up to make them look like proper dwarven mines.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's fun as hell. Well, now they just came out with the cliffs and caves and they dropped the bedrock level by like 60 blocks.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, did you not know that?
No, I don't think I've played normal Minecraft.
So they just came out with Caves and Cliffs 2, or Cliffs and Caves, I don't remember which, but either way, it's the second part. And they dropped bedrock level by 60 blocks, I think, 60 or 70, and they added in massive caves and like a few different versions of them, but you will find like absolutely monstrously large caves.
Interesting.
Yeah. And what's really funny is if you... like it updates, they've made it so that you can update pre-existing worlds now. So if you're already playing and they come out with like a new big update that adds stuff to chunks, they have a blending tool to help blend old chunks and new chunks together, like ones that you haven't walked across. Will have all the new content and it will, like, they try to make it seamlessly blend with chunks that you already have. In this case, when they changed the bedrock level, bedrock was actually changed into a layer of deep slate, and then you could dig underneath. So in the world that Pete and I were in before, like when they first came out with that, which was, that was like a month ago, maybe couple weeks ago, it was before we were playing on his world, we had made our house this underground. We basically built a tower, a reverse tower. So instead of it being built up, it was a cylinder that went down and the rooms were built into the walls of this main cylinder. But that went all the way down to bedrock. So we actually...
But now it could go deeper.
Yeah, yeah. We were actually able to like walk out and dig down and find huge caverns directly underneath our house. It was super cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Minecraft is... We're grown.
There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, games like Minecraft.
That is very true.
There's a lot to them.
There is. Especially I mean, even without mods, it's...
Well, yeah, like, if you start getting into all the redstone and everything, it gets really nuts. The only downside is bedrock. I don't know how to do redstone.
Oh. It's
because I'm so used to redstone. Well, it's there's little bits that are different, and it kind of throws off major functions of redstone that I'm used to with the Java edition. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a relearning process for sure.
Mm.
They added a lot of really cool quality of life stuff. One thing is any level of light above, like, dark is enough to prevent anything from spawning. So you can just put enough torches in, like, a cave system for there to just not be any shadowed sections in between them, and nothing will spawn.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really nice. It helps you kind of clear out entire sections underground and build like a big underground village and a cavern, and you're not just going to constantly have spawns.
Well, I don't constantly have spawns, but that's because, boy, do I go through a lot of torches.
Just riddle the ground with them.
No. You got to dig out the walls nicely and put them on the wall. You can't litter the ground with torches.
That's not what I'm dealing with Pete. Now, in the caves, he does it only on the right wall so that if you follow the torches on your left all the way up, or maybe it might be reversed, but if you follow and constantly keep them on your one side, you'll find your way out.
Yeah, you put all the torches on one side when you're spelunking so that you can easily find your way back.
Now, above ground, this area is dark. Slap, 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 slap. It's not dark anymore.
Yeah, the last time I was on a world with Pete, I took care of that issue by just getting a bunch of sea lanterns, putting them in the ground, and covering them with green carpet. Because then it just looked like grass, but it glowed.
Oh, that's a good idea!
And then we didn't have to have torches everywhere.
Yeah. I've been picking them up and replacing them with, like, light posts.
Mm.
So that's fine. It's not a big deal. It's a good strategy. But I'm like, Pete, stop. No, there's too many torches.
I will say one of my favorite mods that I first experienced with Sky Factory is the one that puts the X's on the ground to let you know where things will spawn.
Ooh.
It's
ooh,
great. You just press F7 in the modded version, and it puts yellow and red X's on every square, letting you know whether or not something will spawn there. If there's not an X, things won't spawn.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really helpful.
I like that a lot. What else have I been playing? I picked up, I cannot remember the name of it. I don't want to go over and grab my, actually, I deleted it off my Switch anyways. I got this little indie game where you are this little guy in a red trench coat. And it is a like a left to right kind of story game with very, very mild puzzles to it. And you are controlling a giant wheeled machine across this like wasteland, and you have to grab containers that you find out along the way that have water, and you put them into, there's like different buttons and stuff, so you feed the container in and push the button and it raises it up, feeds it into the system, it goes and enters into your fuel container. And it builds up steam as the engine's running. And so you have to hit that. If you want to brake, there's a brake button when you want to get going. You push that. Eventually, you get an upgrade that allows you to put up sails when you see that there's wind. And that, like, that was pretty cool. It was cute. There wasn't a shit ton to it. It was just, like, an interesting, like, post-apocalyptic-y kind of story. It was, like, maybe a 5-hour game. And then I picked up a game called SteamWorld Heist. And that one's really cool if you like turn-based combat kind of games. It's a, you build like a team that you outfit with different loadouts that are all these steam-powered robots. And you go into, the levels are these multi-tiered, platformy kind of side-scrolling like spaceships, and there's a bunch of enemy units and stuff, and you move your people as many spaces as they're able to go, and they can take like an action and move, and the combat, like the actual combat in the game is you have guns, but you can ricochet the bullets off of guns for trick shots and stuff. So if someone's behind cover, you can shoot the ceiling and it'll pop up off that and come down, or like a long range weapon, you could make it shoot the ground, shoot the wall, shoot the ceiling, and hop back up on top of another platform.
I'm trying to think of the last turn-based one I played. It's been a while now I think about it.
It's Final Fantasy Tactics, wasn't it?
No, it's not that long ago.
Banner Saga is a cool tactics game. Yeah. I haven't played that in a long time.
I have stumped myself. See, then again, the problem is I'll go back and I'll be like, man, I remember playing this game. It was so much fun. And then I'll play, you know, old nostalgic games, and then I'll forget, you know.
Oh, that. Yeah.
No, it hasn't been 20 years since I played that. I played that last week.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, right.
Oops.
I've been playing a game called Back for Blood with a couple of friends. That one's pretty cool. It's by the same people who made Left 4 Dead 2 and the game Evolve, and it is basically Left 4 Dead 2-2.
See, I remember reading about that, and when you said the name, I'm like, man, that sounds familiar. Why does it sound familiar? And then you said Left 4 Dead, and I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah. It's same formula as Left 4 Dead. You've got up to four survivors. What's cool is they actually have 8 that you can choose from, and each one kind of does a different thing for the team.
Oh, gotcha.
And the enemies are very, very similar to the ones that were in Left 4 Dead. The only difference is that they function ever so slightly differently, and then there are like variants on each one.
Ooh,
which nice. Have different attacks and stuff.
Hmm.
But the two of the big differences are there is like a money system. There's shops in each of the
interesting
safe houses that you get to buy from at the beginning of each round. Before you walk out of the door, you can purchase Molotovs or frag grenades or bandages or like a defibrillator or a stun gun, which you can use if you get like jumped on by the basically like a hunter. From Left 4 Dead, you can shock them with a stun gun, and it helps you get up if you're off by yourself.
See, I was sitting here listening to you describe that. I'm like, man, I like it when games have that kind of store/shopping system. And then I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, because then I buy everything and never use it.
Yeah.
Because what if I can
use it? They don't give you a shit ton of money, so you can't buy everything. One thing you can buy that's really cool is like team upgrades. So you and it's random. The shops are never the same, except for like, the only thing that's consistent are the, like, quick slot items. Like, you always have access to frag grenade, stun grenade, Molotov, razor wire, stun gun, defibrillator, bandage, first aid kit, toolkit, which allows you to get into certain locked doors, ammo pouch, and I think that's it. But then they also have attachments that you can buy and two weapons. So there's two weapon attachments and two weapons that you can buy. Because this game not only has a whole bunch of weapons, but they've got different tiers. So you start out with a common, and you can get an uncommon, a rare, and an epic. And you just find them littered throughout.
So it's like they took Borderlands and slammed it into Left 4 Dead?
100%, yes. Absolutely. There's like 6 different kinds of each weapon class too, so it's not just the shotgun. There's like 5 different shotguns, and each one has its ups and downs. Like one fires super fast, but it doesn't have as much damage. What, like the double barrel does a shit ton of damage, but you can only fire it twice and then you have to reload, like that kind of stuff. And then they've got a slot for a magazine upgrade, a sight, a barrel upgrade, and a stock upgrade. And the upgrades are also all tiered. But you cannot remove attachments once you've put them on without putting a new attachment on. So like if you have an epic one in the next store, if you find a better weapon in that store, you're like, oh shit, there's an epic shotgun. I want this attachment. You would buy the shitty attachment, switch it out so it drops on the floor, buy the new gun, put it. So it's kind of a process. But out in the wild, if you find a better gun, you basically just have to decide, do I want to keep the gun because it has the cool attachments, or do I want to say fuck it and find new attachments for the better gun?
Oh, that's always hard.
Yeah, it is a very hard choice.
On the fly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's super on the fly because, man, you get a lot of zombies coming at you.
Well, yeah.
But the other major difference between Back 4 Blood and Left 4 Dead 2 is that there is a deck building system.
Interesting.
Yeah, so each card gives you different buffs. And at the beginning of a run, you have like 1 to 3 cards that auto draw, and it's the top three. And then you get a draw in order. It doesn't shuffle your deck. You get to choose what order your cards come up in. And at the beginning of each level within that run in that act, you get a new draw. So, like, on the first level, you'll get your top three and then your first draw. And then on the next level, you get your second draw and so on and so forth. It draws the next three in order. So you don't have to, like, if a run is going a certain way or you've grabbed certain weapons, you can choose to go out of order with your grabs. Otherwise, you can just follow top to bottom your deck exactly how you built it.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I do too. I build it in a certain, like, well, first I want to get the stamina up because I'm a melee fighter. I go baseball bat shotgun. And so my build is entirely around, I'm mostly going to be swinging my bat, but I've also got some cards in there to make my shotgun shoots better and do like better stuff in it. Mm. So I build up a bunch of stamina. And then I give myself a bunch of melee upgrades, and then I build up my damage resistance and health because I'm the tank all the time. And then, like, sprinkled in there are some shotgun stuff. Like, there's a run-and-gun one where if I have a shotgun in hand, I move faster. And another one that I get temporary hit points for every pellet from a shotgun that hits. But then I also have my melee build part of my deck where I have a card that for every melee kill, I get 2 health. For every melee kill, I get 7 stamina. And then there's a card called Berserker, which with every melee kill, I get a stack of adrenaline. And each stack of adrenaline adds damage and weapon speed. So when I'm surrounded by a horde and I just start swinging, I'm being healed. And the swings are like bam, bam. Bam, 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 bam. So then my teammates are standing behind me and they're just watching me go through all the zombies. And I turn around like, hey, guys, we can continue on now.
Man, that just reminds me of years ago. Sorry, because I've been thinking about Borderlands now because
it's a very similar. But
all I can think of is years ago when playing the first Borderlands, playing Brick. It's like, yeah, it's a game about guns and shooting things. I punch everything.
That was a very funny choice for them to put into it.
The thing is, when you build him specifically with the mindset of I'm going to punch everything, that game got real easy.
Yeah, it did. It was weird how good he was at punching stuff. Are you going to get Tiny Tina's Wonderland?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. If you said, what is that? I was going to be like, oh, let me tell you.
No, it's more a matter of when, really.
Yeah. It's for everyone else, it's D&D Borderlands. They took Skyrim themes and smashed it into Borderlands. Mm-hmm. So you have like it's more D&D because you build, like, they actually have classes and you can multi-class and build it up however you want so that your character plays exactly how you want to. But it is, they took, because it was in a DLC, what was it called? Bunkers and Baddies?
Oh, I'm trying to remember, and I'm
they had like a D&D spoof, yeah, in the DLC, one of the DLCs for Borderlands 2. And they made Bunkers and Baddies into its own standalone video game. It's like, it's not even like a DLC for Borderlands 3. Tiny Tina's Wonderland is its own game that has its own systems and stuff. And I am very much looking forward to it.
Bunkers and Badasses. That's, yeah.
That's it. Bunkers and Badasses. I was close. Yeah.
I had to look it up because it was going to drive me nuts otherwise.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that you just get to hear Tiny Tina the entire time too. And that's its own fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
No, it looks like it's going to be good.
Man, this episode was all over the place.
Listen, Let's go back to those skinny jeans.
Yeah. let's talk more about that. Hey, we could talk about my Vans too.
Curtis.
I also bought a leather jacket, so leather jacket and hoodie.
I mean, I can't really say anything about any kind of style, considering my current go-to style is, you know, with my beard and driver's cap, and I'm just like, man.
Your beard, driver's cap, and that orange plaid jacket that I see you wearing in pictures on Facebook.
That thing is comfy.
I bet. It looks like it. But I'm also like, God damn, you're bright.
It's nice and Sherpa-lined on the inside.
Yeah. You and I, fashion-wise, are very, very opposite. Not like mirror opposites. But you wear a lot of bright colors, and I don't own anything brighter than purple.
Let's not talk about how many black t-shirts are in my closet.
Hey, okay, no. All right. Maybe we're closer, in fact, than I assumed. You probably don't have conjoined coffins that say, let's sleep together.
No.
I wear that one to work.
I mean, just because, you know, my character is a beacon of blue.
Yeah. I think we're the most opposite as our LARP characters.
Oh, definitely.
You're all blue and I'm dark colors.
I mean, I'm blue and dream. You're spooky nightmare.
Yeah, literally opposite characters.
The only way it could be worse is if you were a fire mage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, isn't your character also kind of like lawful?
Yes.
Yeah. And my character is a pirate. So, yeah, I'm in the underworlds. So we are 100% opposites, minus I mean, in a way, me not casting magic and you casting magic is opposites.
That is true. That is very true.
Because I'm a rogue bard. Really weird build.
You do magic just differently.
Yeah. 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 That'll probably do it for us, though. I think it was very rambly. We'll have an actual topic next time.
Somewhat more structured.
Yeah, well, it's like we hadn't talked like this. I mean, like, you know, we text and stuff.
Yeah, but
we
different.
Hadn't talked like this in a while.
Yeah, it's just kind of ease back into everything.
Yeah, and you're still not feeling too great, so like I didn't want to get into anything super intense. I just kind of wanted to chit-chat with my buddy.
Tell you what though, a couple episodes from now it's just going to be Disney, 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 Disney.
Oh man, I'm actually like looking forward to that though. Like I'm actually legit excited for you to come back. I swear if you do not go to the super goth bakery in Disney Springs, I will throttle you.
The only way I wouldn't go to Gideon's is if it had one of its like 3-hour waits.
Or burns to the ground.
That is also, that would also, stop me.
Yeah. You go and take pictures for me because I want Gideon's. Oh, God. Someone make a Gideon's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, please. It doesn't even have to be Disney. I just want a spooky gothic bakery. So badly. And I'm not going to start it because I tried bake. I was going to be a baker and it wasn't my thing. So,
hey, I mean, at least you tried it and realized it wasn't for you.
I did. Food service is more power to anyone working in food service because I did it for a little while and I will never do it ever again.
Well, that was bad enough with me in customer service. I don't want to do food service.
Yeah, I've worked food. I've worked retail. And then the rest of the time was warehouse because I did the other two and was like,
Listen, how can I get far away from people?
Put me in a box. Put me in a big fluorescent box. ADHD brain hates the fluorescent box. It's so bad.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
I tiny lights only. I don't even turn on the overhead light in my bedroom unless I'm like getting dressed or something. Otherwise it is ghost string lights, purple string lights, purple rope light, and a jack-o'-lantern, plastic jack-o'-lantern with a light bulb that I have strung up from my ceiling. Oh, and a purple neon bat light because my bedroom is gothic horror. Oh, one more thing before I'm going to do our outro, but I bought another Gremlin action figure and I am very proud of it.
Oh?
Yes. I had they're from NECA because NECA makes really great action figures. I already had the Flasher Gremlin. And I got one that is, it's like they do their Gremlin action figures really, really well. Like really, really cool, I should say. Like they're nice, but the cool thing about them is that if I were to open them, which I didn't open either of them because of this next part, there's more than one Gremlin in each box. In a way, there is one Gremlin figure, but then the accessories to make it different, multiple different gremlins from the movie, like that you would recognize.
Oh, interesting.
So the Flasher Gremlin also has a visor for the poker gremlins and poker cards, and also has a Bert stuffed animal.
Gotcha.
And a pile of poker chips. So like the accessories allow you to make it one of the other gremlins that they focus the camera on.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I leave them in the box so you can see all of the accessories together, as opposed to choosing one of the gremlins and then putting the rest of the accessories aside.
Yeah, I get it.
So the other one that I got is the, I think it's called Ultimate Gamer Gremlin, but he's holding a like portable tabletop arcade cabinet game. And then he's got the quarter colored, like kids quote unquote hat that has this, the propeller hat that's like red, yellow, green, blue.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But he can also be one, the gremlin with the 3D glasses and the bucket of popcorn. Or the gremlin that has cut the eye holes in the bucket of popcorn and put it on its head.
Mm.
So it's very cute. And it was like the only one left at Target. And so I grabbed it and ran for my life. I'm like, my gremlin, mine.
Man, I haven't seen that either of those in a long time.
I love both of those movies.
They're very different.
They are. They are very, very different. How accurate, though, was that depiction of future buildings that are almost all like chrome and steel?
I mean, it's like movies can be scarily accurate at times.
I know. It's yeah. It's not, it's horrific.
Man, I just, this isn't the dystopian future I want.
I wanted Shadowrun. It could at least be more cyberpunky than this.
Right? Where's my data jack?
Yeah. Where's that? And I want more. I mean, there is that super badass Razor face mask. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah. The Razor Zephyr.
Yeah. Yeah. I want one. I shouldn't. And it probably won't seal because I have a big beard, but I want one.
They don't like facial hair.
No, they really, really don't. But anyways, I'd like to thank Nolan Dye for the use of our theme song, Chinaski, by his band Sad Gravity. You can find them, as well as his other band, Best Sleep, on Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter, @PassionatelyPod. Email us at PassionatelyInterestedPodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on Facebook at Passionately Interested. I can't remember the handle. Just look up, just search Passionately Interested. You'll find us. That's actually where I put most of the updates. I would also explain that you can listen to episodes on Facebook, but if you're hearing this, you already know where to find it. So that's kind of pointless.
That's, you know, I never thought of it that way. That is very true. Yeah.
Tell your grandpa that he can listen to it on Facebook. It makes it really easy. We're on basically all podcatchers at this point. But thank you everyone so much for listening. We hope you had a really wonderful holiday season, or are still having a good holiday season, if there are any. I don't know. There still could be some holidays going on. I think Yule like just ended. But
I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. We're sorry for the break. We wanted to do some holiday and family stuff, and we both got sick and Nick got boosted and it just didn't work out. But we're back. It was a softball start, but we'll come at you hard and fast with the next one. Take that as you will. I got to get in one sex joke each episode. If I don't hit my quota, I don't know what will happen. I'm afraid to find out. Probably people will be relieved, to be honest. But again, thank you so much for listening. I'm Curtis.
And I'm Nick.
Did you know almost half of Finland's foreign population lives in Helsinki?
Thanks for listening.